You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
Ron, tell us about Noonan, Georgia. This is a test outside the region. So you, what happened there so we can kind of get a taste of what's going to happen in the nation?
Yeah, that was an amazing, another amazing God-ordained God moment kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I retired from my church at Myrtle Grove this past June, just a few months ago. Mm-hmm. And after 22 years of serving there, and 38 years total, but 22 at Myrtle Grove, mm-hmm. and I knew that God had called me into this new ministry. So my church supported me in that event. In that effort, rather, mm-hmm. and have loved me and supported me. So what was bittersweet leaving that flock as their under-shepherd, mm-hmm. I had the confidence of knowing that I was doing something right and following the Lord. Mm-hmm. So I left there the day after, shot up to North Carolina to be with my family, my grandchild, three-year-old, and another grandbaby just soon to be born. We wanted to be up there for the birth and mm-hmm. help my daughter. So we camped out for the whole summer. So while I was there, I had a little coffee shop.
And wrote this book. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I had this coffee shop I found in little Waxhaw, North Carolina, this quaint little town.
Waxhaw.
W-A-X-H-A-W.
Okay. Waxhaw.
Just 30 minutes south of Charlotte.
Okay.
Right on the borderline of South Carolina and North Carolina.
Okay.
It's a quaint little town, like going back to yesteryear, with a train running through it, you know.
Right.
There's a coffee shop called Crossroads, and they have a little attic up there, and I found a place where I could dictate my book with my dragon dictation mm-hmm. And work on the book. So while I was working all that, I got a phone call from a friend in Noonan, Georgia, a buddy of mine from seminary days. Mm-hmm. He's been there 22 years at his church, pastoring. And he said, Ron, he said, I want you to come. I heard you return. Could you come do a meeting, a revival meeting with me? I said, man, I'd love to. He says, and by the way, John, let me tell you what's been happening. It had been like 8 years since I talked to this guy. Mm-hmm. And I filled him in on the unity movement.
Right.
He said, Ron, you won't believe this. He said, brother, he said, about a year and 4 months ago, I think it was last year, April, mm-hmm. in Noonan, Georgia, there was a KKK neo-Nazi rally.
Ku Klux Klan?
Yeah, okay. and the neo-Nazi, kind of combination.
Okay.
Meeting, rally, event in downtown Noonan by the Confederates statue.
Okay. Confederate,
in downtown Noonan. It's an old southern town, just west of Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay, all right.
So he said, and brother, he says, since that time, the city fathers, you know, have come together and turned to the church and said, guys, we need to unite our community.
And who are the city fathers?
The mayor, pro tem, the police chief, sheriff, district attorney.
So they're all Christians, I guess?
Yeah, all happen to be all
believers.
Oh,
wow.
From different
denominations. And they're wanting an answer.
Yeah, they turn to the church. Because the pastors during that whole event, because mm-hmm. Antifa came, it was a big clash, it was in the newspapers.
And
I don't know if folks that are listening now remember that. Mm-hmm. But in any event, the pastors started meeting with each other, maybe weeks that followed, and were meeting on a regular basis, the pastors were. Mm-hmm. And trying to do some good community stuff together, but didn't know how to bring their congregations together. Mm-hmm. So when John found out about this, he started emailing all of his buddies, said, listen, I've got a friend that'll be here the end of August, and he's going to be with me for 4 days preaching at my church. Mm-hmm. On Monday afternoon, I'm going to throw a luncheon. I'll treat you guys to lunch. Come hear his story. It's something that we may really need here in Noonan, a way for us to bring our people together. Well, the day came. It was Monday, the last Monday of August, this past August. They're at a restaurant in a banquet room mm-hmm. in Noonan. And it was to start at 11:30. We got there about 11:15. Mm-hmm. So John told me, he got with me, says, now, Ronnie says, I don't know who's going to show up, but there just may be you and me.
Right.
I says, well, John, even if one comes, it's all worth it, you know, not a problem. At 11:30, we were surprised. In comes walking the mayor pro tem, the sheriff, the police chief, the associate police chief, the district attorney for the city of Noonan, walking in, followed by 20 pastors of the downtown Noonan area, racially and culturally diverse.
Oh, beautiful.
All sat there. We let them get their food first. I didn't eat.
Wow. Yeah,
I took 45 minutes of their time.
Yeah.
They stayed, and I poured my heart out about what God was doing on the west side of Pensacola, mm-hmm. our intention to bring it in downtown Pensacola. We have the chief of police, with the chief deputy for the sheriff's department, the chief of police working
Chip
with us
Simmons,
for this
Leiter,
for this deal in downtown Pensacola. And I said, man, I said, and I gave my website and said, listen, I'd be happy to help you in any way. Well, as far as I know right now, they are continuing to meet, following up.
I heard they begin to cry, literally, someone was in tearing up about this.
Oh, yeah. Well, the police chief, when I got done, he had tears in his eyes and talked about how the day before, or was it the day of the day before, one of the two, that a couple of the pastors came over and laid hands on him and prayed over him, knowing the violence was going to be coming to their city. And indeed, that day he did. But the town had poured out, saying, this is not us in Noonan.
Right.
And there was kind of like a counter
thing
to all that. But
what you need to do as a town when something like that happens.
Yeah. And for me, that Greg, that afternoon, that luncheon, confirmed in my mind that what was resonating in the minds of hearts of believers of all these different denominations and leaders and pastors on the west side of Pensacola is resonating with these folks over here in Noonan, Georgia.
Right.
And I believe will resonate with people.
With the leaders.
With the leaders.
The ones that are leading the city. They're crying out for an answer. They don't know exactly what the answer is, but they want it.
Yeah.
But when they saw what God was doing through your life and what he's done, they're going, this is that.
Yeah.
This is what we need in our community.
Like the director of missions for the Baptist guy, he was there and he got up and said, you know, I believe this could work in our area.
Right.
So they're dealing with that right now, figuring out if they want to go forward.
There's people right now that are watching us all around the world and in America, and they're thinking like, wow, that can happen here. I thought you were just telling me about something just in Pensacola, maybe just Noonan, but can they actually contact you about helping you?
Yeah.
Okay. How would they do that?
Yeah, the website is up and running now.
Okay.
Thank God I have a high-tech son-in-law.
Right, very good.
He put it together.
Yeah.
And he's going to manage it. But it's Unify in Christ.
You see it on your screen right there right now, yeah?
Yeah, Unify in Christ. Mm-hmm. And you go on the web, and it's got all the information, videos to watch, telling the story. In fact, we just finished with a 27-minute video documentary.
Good one, yeah.
Telling the story beautifully, as the book will. The book, I pray, will be released in the spring of next year.
Right, which has details in your book about step by step,
how you could do it, how a community could actually put something similar like this together. I think the most important thing is the willingness, the want to, in our heart and mind when we tell God, okay.
The decision.
Yeah. To come together with people of different tribes, call them different denominational tribes and races and cultures, that, you know, let's come together, guys. Right. Let's make an impact. You know, in our own churches, we can teach our distinctive theologies, worship, and the preference in the ways we want. But when we come together at these events, these gathering events like we've done or the rally and march, we leave all of our differences out the door. Mm-hmm. We celebrate only one thing, the gospel, the gospel. And we lift up and we sing about the gospel. We preach about, you know, how we're united through the gospel. Mm-hmm. And we declare too, and here's the evangelistic thing, and that really in Pensacola, we're really going to shoot in a much more intentional way on presenting the gospel at the end, which I did not necessarily do in depth at our west side.
Okay.
But at Pensacola, we plan to present the gospel, give a chance for people to pray out there and have a list of the churches that have signed on that they believe in the gospel. We'll have a list that if someone accepts Christ right there, and if you've just received the Lord, we're going to say, you can pick up a copy of this list. Every church has signed off that they believe the gospel. You let the Spirit of God lead you to where you feel you need to worship. But go this Sunday, find a church, get in there. So we can do that. So with one voice to the city of Pensacola, whether it be on news, caught on camera, written in the newspaper, or people that are there by the bars, as we march past the bars and the restaurants, as you know, Seville Square, that people will be able to see, what is this all about? What are they doing? Look at the black, white, Hispanic, Asian. What's this about, man? They'll see the banners with, you know, lifting up and praising Jesus. They'll see the signs, homemade signs, children carrying it.
Right.
You know, praising the Lord, unity in Christ.
Well, John 17:23, they're going to sense with that unity and know somehow, supernaturally, God loves them.
Yeah.
So it's a perfect time to tell people about him.
It's the perfect time, because you can imagine something like this taking place. And here, a month before, it'll be a year from now, which is 1 month before the presidential election, which, you know, is getting hotter and more heated and angry and divisive. It'll almost be like an antithesis, a direct opposite.
Say that word correctly, though. I mean, we'll make sure we'll make sure they don't think it's something else.
Antithesis?
Yeah.
It'll be the direct opposite.
The antonym, the opposite. Yeah,
the opposite.
Yeah.
The direct opposite of what's happening in their culture around them and what they're hearing on the news. And, and here,
it's a perfect time to present.
And here all these different races and cultures coming down, not protesting anything, singing songs as they march, praising Jesus, ending up at Seville Park, you know? lifting up the Lord, black guy after white guy after Spanish, talking about our oneness in Jesus.
Right.
Italian. Talking about, hey, you know, we're all one. We're family here. Uh-huh. We want to tell our world what's happened here with all of us can happen to you.
Yeah.
And the way to get there is Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father and experience this except through me. And so, you know, it's like, The long-term vision, I'm getting excited here.
Go ahead.
The long-term vision, and it's one I believe in my heart.
So if they want to sign up, they go to unifyinchrist.org.
And at the end of that, as you scroll down at the very end of the website and the homepage, you'll see a place where you can plug in your information. If you plug in your email, you'll get updates on what's going on here.
So you see that on your screen, just go there and sign up today. What's your cell number? No, I'm messing with you. Go ahead. No.
Yeah, the number's actually on the website. The number's there,
Got it.
Yeah, email address, everything. Okay. But I do believe in the long-term vision, and I was raised Catholic, and they used to have a thing that the Pope can speak ex cathedra, which means when he speaks ex cathedra, it's scripture.
Eschatology.
It's infallible.
Okay.
Okay.
Are you the Pope?
I don't necessarily. I don't necessarily buy into that.
We're going rogue here.
I don't necessarily buy into it. I'm not speaking ex cathedra. I'm not a prophet or a son of a prophet, but I have a holy hunch. I have a holy hunch.
Okay.
And my holy hunch is that I believe this is a move without a question. This is a move of God. I believe it is Christ's heart. And I believe it could go, it could actually be something God could use to be a catalyst to usher in an awakening, a spiritual awakening that must come to America. Yeah. We need, Greg, you know it's true, and you've been praying for it. We need another encounter, I mean an awakening. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the awakenings of 100 years ago, the Great Awakenings historically in America. The First Great Awakening and the Second Great Awakening. We need one that will rock and transform
change
cities.
Change the DNA. Change the DNA of the nation.
I mean, it could literally, it's not like I'm not saying, I know I read the end of the book in Revelation. I know that the decay will ultimately come. We understand that.
There's a huge harvest coming before that.
That's what I'm praying for. Yeah. And we could delay the decay.
Oh, I like that, yeah.
Jesus said, we're salt. Mm-hmm. What does salt do to meat?
Yeah.
It gives it, before refrigerators, it gave meat longer shelf life.
Right.
We could become the salt that could give America longer shelf life.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
You're the salt of the world, the light of the world. And if we can give, with the longer shelf life, there's a chance then. I really do believe that millions of people that are neither extremely on the right or extremely on the left. Mm-hmm. There are millions of Americans right now that are caught in the middle going like this.
Right.
Which way do I go? Mm-hmm. Who's right? Are they right? Are they right over here?
Right.
It's created a void.
Right.
And I think it's our opportunity for the body of Christ to move in to that void that's been created in our culture right now. Mm-hmm. And if we move in together, united, man, we can break down all the narratives, the false narratives out there.
And I'm hearing this thing, it's like, it's never a wrong time to do the right thing.
Oh, sure.
And what you're saying, this is the right thing.
This is the right thing. It's the right time.
Exactly. It's just never wrong to do right.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is just deciding to do it. And then, you know, we spend eternity talking about this, but we have a thing called a vapor in this life that we need to do whatever we can now to be able to present as a gift for him there.
I'll make it personal.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I'm... I'm aware, as I get older, I'll be 68, like I said, this couple months, and I'm well aware of how quickly time goes by.
It's fast.
I'm a grandpa, you're a grandfather, I'm a grandfather. I want to leave a spiritual, on a personal note now, I want to leave a spiritual legacy for my children, my grandchildren, and grandkids or their children that I won't even meet one day. I want to make the best of whatever time I have left on this planet. There's no such thing as retirement. Right. I want to continue, like John Wayne, die with my boots on, man.
Right.
Keep serving the Master and make a difference to inspire my children. This is a personal thing, and my grandchildren to leave a story
right
that they can tell at dinner table.
Yes.
You know, old grandpa, man, here's what grandpa did.
Grandpa.
You know, and boy, if he could do that, maybe I could blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Maybe I can, you know, step out and da-da-da.
Yeah.
And we can leave something, an inheritance of faith, which is far better than a portfolio and financial portfolio, you know.
Right.
To leave an inheritance. In fact, if I had a choice, I would rather leave the spiritual inheritance. Yeah. Far, far more.
It comes with gold streets and pearl gates.
And it comes with purpose.
Yeah.
To get out of bed in the morning, I've watched senior adults. I've ministered to senior adults plenty over the years. Did a lot of homegoings, funeral services for them. But I saw the guys, the men and the women that had something to get up for in the morning.
Yeah.
That said, even in their 80s, I have a purpose. I can still make a difference. My life can still make a difference.
Yeah.
Getting out of that bed, and I'm going to do something for Jesus.
That's right.
And make a difference. That's what gives purpose to life. Everybody needs purpose.
Yes.
You know, when Rick Warren wrote The Purpose-Driven Life, the greatest hardcover best-selling book in American history, right? Why? Because people long for purpose in their life. There is no greater purpose than honoring God, the Creator, honoring the Lord with our life and our gifts and our talent.
Well, you know, the Lord said, you know, the harvest is plentiful, but the people willing to get out of bed for the righteous reasons are few.
Right.
So if somebody's thinking right now about, and I just want to challenge you right now that maybe that's you and you're thinking like, I needed a purpose. Well, you just heard it. It's about unity. It's about love. It's about, you know, growing in Christ. It's about abiding with God. It's about being a part of something significant. There's one quote that you have in there. I think it's Backley.
Henry Blackaby.
What's the quote?
Henry Blackaby, Experiencing God.
Yeah.
Yeah, the book you wrote, that brought about a spiritual awakening of sorts to the Southern Baptist Convention back in the 80s, and then it crossed over denominational lines.
What did he say?
What he said was this.
This right here?
Okay. He said, look for where God's at work and join him.
Right.
And the thing was that in the beginning of the unity movement, all of us were seeing.
So look where God is at.
Look where God is at, where he's working. And
go there.
Him.
So many people are trying to create something different.
That's like, not there.
He's not there. Right.
He's not there. But if you keep your eyes open and see the Spirit of God at work around you.
Dive in.
Join him.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we saw with the unity movement on the West Side in the beginning.
Right.
Hey, you know, we go to a church, walk into a Vietnamese church, Assembly of God, and the pastor's sitting there, and I began to share my heart with him.
Right.
And pastor after pastor, church after church, hey, brother, that's a good idea. You say unify around the gospel.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. I can do that. Right. 99%. Of those that we encountered were wide open.
So people are just looking for how that's going to happen. And one thing they can do that by getting your book, but also they could do that by going to your website at unifyinchrist.org.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNKB.com. And don't forget about our VFN KB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at VFNKB.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.